This is a Power 98.7 podcast. Now we're talking. Subscribe to Power 98.7 podcasts in iTunes or wherever you get your podcasts. There's more on power987.co.za. Power Talk, the masterclass.
Yes, indeed. It is the masterclass, 24 minutes before noon. Don't forget that after the 12 o'clock news, Power Lunch kicks in with Faith Mangope from noon until 3. And then from 3 to 6, the Power Drive with Jovicho Thabiso Kotane there. And 6 to 8, Power Business with Nolutando Tonti Mlambo. I nearly said Nuka. Fortunately, I stopped there. And of course, 8 to midnight, Denzel Taylor on Power Perspective. Yeah. So on the masterclass, we look at the artist's rights as well as intellectual property. We all know that it is quite a contentious issue. It's not only a problem for local artists, but also a problem for international artists. You look at people that are extremely successful. You thought that as soon as they pass on, you know, their estate will be well taken care of in terms of issues of IP and so on. But it is quite problematic in most of the case. So, that's what we're going to explore with our guest, Nobantu Mfeka, who is the Managing Director at Global Entertainment Law, to look at this issue. You know, it is particularly interesting topic for Masterclass because of the human rights. And you ask yourself, the artists, what are their rights? We've seen from a government's point of view, there's been a change in the ministry. Natim Tetwa is no longer the Minister of Arts and Culture. So we have Zizu Kota now, who has been appointed the Minister of Sports, Arts and Culture, who has taken over a new portfolio. There's been a whole lot of criticism. For instance, the amount of money that has been allocated to the National Orchestra, there's been a number of pushback about that. But as far as this masterclass is concerned, we're going to focus on the following that is in the country and around the world. It is not uncommon to hear that the pockets of artists from all facets of the entertainment industry have run dry. We are also aware of the prominent storyline on signing bad contracts because it sold the promise of a big break into the industry. And for this reason, and against the backdrop of Human Rights Day, we're taking a look at the rights artists have to their intellectual property on our masterclass today, as well as answering the question on how best to protect the physical manifestations of one's creativity. The landscape of artists and who can be creative has definitely broadened with the wake of social media. So we also want to understand how one can protect their IP on digital platforms where one's creativity can be easily duplicated. Yeah, because it is quite a challenge in terms of this access to in terms of the access to the massive access to information, massive access to your work through social media, and how do we protect that? And there are obviously some of the issues, for instance, that were raised by people like Vatison Daha in an open letter that was written to the then Minister of Arts and Culture, Natim Tetwa. Issues of royalties, for instance, what happens? You know, why is it only benefiting producers and not trickling down to the artists? And yeah, when you raise such issues, you know, people being victimized. You had the interview I had with Vatizo that no one in the industry wants to, you know, to commission her anymore because of this, you know, tough questions that she was asking and expecting that the, you know, the Minister of Arts and Culture will intervene in that regard. So it's quite unfortunate that, you know, if you have to voice concerns, and it was just to say, just look at these particular issues, and then you become a sacrificial lamb. You're not being supported by the government. You're not being supported by anybody. So, yeah, we're still trying to locate our guest. So as soon as we get in touch with her, we will continue with our masterclass. But for now, we'll take a break. And we'll take your calls, by the way, on our power line 0861 987 000. And of course, you can drop us a voice note as per norm 0833037093. You can also tweet us at PowerFM987 using the hashtag PowerTalk, or tweet me directly at Murio Mriano. It is the Human Rights Day, previously known as the shepherd.
Speak up. Call the Power Line on 0861-987-000.
All right, it's gone 18 before midday. We're still battling a little bit to get a hold of our guest. That is Nobantu Mfeka, Managing Director at Global Entertainment, because we wanted to focus on the artist rights and intellectual property on our masterclass today. But in the meantime, we can get the ball rolling until midday. Feel free to give us a call at 0861-987-000. If it's anything related to the artists, if you are an artist or you're just somebody who supports the arts and you want to make an input on that, give us a shout. Or if there's any other issue that you want to raise based on the topics that we have as we still try to locate our guest, we'll be grateful to take your call on 0861-987-000. Because it is absolutely important that the livelihoods of our artists have been taken care of. I was actually thinking about the relationship between artists' survival in terms of making livelihoods as opposed to the general employment rate in the country. Because if people are unemployed in great numbers, so obviously economic activities are impacted on, and even if artists wants to perform and so on, it will be difficult for people to go and support the art. So one thing, it is related to the other. So I think we did manage to make contact with Nobantu Phumla Mfeka, who is the Managing Director at Global Entertainment Law. Nobantu, good morning to you. Welcome to Power Talk.
Good morning. Good morning, everyone. Good morning to your listeners. And apologies for the disconnect that we had.
Yeah, it happens from time to time, this technology issues. It's all right. It's all right. We're glad we managed to make contact eventually. You know, the fact that it's 2023, Nobantu, it's 2023. But the fact that we still have to discuss this topic of intellectual properties, we have to talk about artists, for instance, who passed on and you find that they die poor because maybe they entered into bad contracts and so on. Why is it that over the years we haven't learned lessons and come up with, you know, corrective measures for instance to prevent this thing from recurring and recurring?
Thank you for having me, and thank you for that great sort of glaring question. I would say, I think, first of all, from my perspective, I think it's chiefly because intellectual property and the protection of rights has, for the long haul, been looked as a commercial aspect to the art. So you have the artist and the creation of the creative expression, and then you have the commercial aspect almost seen as a separate part to that, to their creative expression. And I think until we see the overlap and the marrying of the two worlds, artists will not necessarily see their commercial benefits to the art as one and all as part of the creative expression. It is unfortunate, we are here celebrating human rights and absolutely, you know, intellectual property being an overlapping human rights issue. We shouldn't be having these discussions, but we are, and we need to continue to have these discussions until we can, you know, get it correct. So I would say it is seen as two parts that are running parallel, as opposed to one part that is joined together.
Mm. So Nobantu, this is interesting because you're saying they are viewed as two separable entities that are running parallel. But it's very interesting because you hear some of the artists saying that I am an artist, and my ability and my creativity, it's on making music or it's on making the arts, be in the creative arts and so on. But this one of IP, obviously, it's a commercial nature and it needs people like lawyers, you know, people who understand the IP laws, people who understand all this kind of thing. What do you say to an artist like that? Because the danger is that you outsource basically what's supposed to be your milk cow, you know, so that's something that you're supposed to be making money out of, but you outsource it on the basis that you feel that you don't have the capacity because you are not a legal expert. This is a commercial nature, a commercial venture that needs legalese or legal experts. What do you say to an artist who positions himself or herself as that?
I think, and thanks for the question, I think I would definitely say, so these parts should not be running side by side, separate to each other. You know, they should be running together. You know, they should not be viewed as when you create the art, it's on the one end and somebody else then on the other end must deal with the commercial aspect. Even when somebody comes on board in the form of a lawyer or even find, you know, somebody, an accountant, they should
or a manager, a business manager, yeah.
Exactly, mm-hmm. exactly. They should be assisting you to manage that which you yourself already understand. Just a good example, just to maybe juxtapose the idea, is that if you own a piece of land, you would want to know all the details pertaining to that land. And when you bring in a conveyance or somebody on board, you basically should know what it is that they will be assisting you either to lease, if it's a leasing agent, or if you're selling, what it is that you are selling. So I think it goes back to my original point that the creative expression of the art should have embedded it in it, the promotion and offering commercial benefits. And I would say I would encourage artists to take full ownership of the commercial benefits that comes with the art. In fact, intellectual property, the very idea behind certain laws in intellectual property is so that the creative aspect, the creator or the owner of the work, has for a limited period the right to earn commercially, or the right to license and allow others to, you know, so that's the whole idea. It should be embedded in one. So when I come on board as an attorney, I'm bringing the technical aspect of something that you already have a full understanding of. So conversations like this are obviously assisting. You know, there's a little bit more engagement from the creative industries to want to know a little bit more of what the intellectual property of their works entails.
Yeah. So Nobantu, most artists, when they start, obviously they are not big. They are not big brands. They are not household names. It's somebody who's talented. He decided to venture into music. Or whatever form of arts. And that's where everything has to start. So if you have to advise somebody, because people, when they are not household names, so they just want that break, you know? It's like, if I can just get that break, and their gut is down because they just want to sign anything, they just want to, you know, they just want to get the so-called big break. And you find that, unfortunately, you sign your rights away, you sign your life away. When you become a big star now, you find that you're not even making money because of the contracts that you signed. But let's start with the IP. For a beginner, how does a beginner protect his or her intellectual property in the arts without having to incur huge amounts from commercial lawyers, for instance?
Okay, perfect. Great question again. I think the first part, let's give a basic understanding of the intellectual property world. And I think that's important at a lay level to say, okay, what is it that we are talking about when we're talking intellectual property? Because the term is thrown around, but it means various things depending on what you're creating. And I will often have, up-and-coming creatives say, can you patent my work or can you trademark my work? So I think we are lucky now that we're in a digital space where information is obviously so readily available. So the basic understanding is just to say, okay, if I'm creating music, what am I creating? Am I creating a patent? Am I creating a trademark? Is it a copyright? What is it that I'm creating? So at a very basic level, that doesn't even include a lawyer coming on board, just to have that basic understanding where your creative expression falls, which branch or component of IP it falls in. So if it's music, for example, and you need to now engage in contracts, then already you would say, okay, well, I own copyright in this music. And before, with the wonderful world of technology, you have all this information available. However, then it goes into the technical aspect of saying, how do I then protect it? So copyright, by nature, does not require any fees. You don't have to pay anything up front. by mere expression and a reduction of your expression, your song, in other words, pen to paper, you have now got automatic copyright in that music. What then happens is that you sign away that copyright away, because the assumption is that I need to sign something for it to have life. But it has life from that moment the song is written, or the song is recorded, or you've put an art piece, you've actually drawn something together, and that is immediate. The only exception would be in a cinematographic space, where if there's a film, then you would need to register that. Otherwise, copyright is automatic. Then we have trademark. Now, if you're looking at trademarks, you're talking about goods and services. If within your creation you have a particular good, maybe a merchandise, maybe you've got clothing that is now emerging from your creation, that's now a layer that you say, oh, now I need to then trademark. Wait, then maybe I will come in as a lawyer, and then I will explain to you how to go about that process. But at a very basic level, before you even sign anything, understand, I would encourage artists just to understand which component part of IP does their creative expression fall in. And generally speaking, most literary works fall within copyright. Music falls within copyright. We have a long list of works that are protected under copyright, and all those are reduced automatically. And then before you share your idea, the basic engagement would be to say, okay, let me maybe get a basic non-disclosure agreement, which says to the person that you are disclosing your information to, I'm aware that this information is copywritten, and as I share it with you, please also be aware that I have that knowledge. So those are very basic steps that do not cost you anything up front before I come in, or lawyers come in, or managers come in.
Okay, interesting indeed. Let me go to the caller on the line, Madlingosi in Johannesburg. Good morning, welcome.
Good morning, Budrom. Good morning, Sixteen. Yes, just to add on that. I think even before one has got that, written one-liner agreement or disclosure that this is my work, it would be best to say if one could just send, to himself or herself the copy of the song or whatever work that one has to himself or herself, and then never open it until when there is a dispute, where now only the judge will open the sealed envelope that says that this is my work. And remember that in that copy, there'll be a date of how, when the work was done. If it was done way after that, then it is a proof that the original of that work is from that person. On top of that, maybe one can just go to a lawyer if one has got money and all that. Because this copyright amendment bill, is still not finished in Parliament, because it's still sitting in front of the President, and there are a lot of technicalities about it. And so I think the best way could be artists to just protect themselves in the meantime.
Why does it sound like it's Ringo Madlingosi?
Yes, it is.
We're molo. That's weird, Makaya. We're molo. Sing it for me before you go, Ringo, man. That's my favorite song. Fighter, we thank you very much. We still have to have an extensive discussion about it. Ringo Madlingosi is a member of parliament through the Economic Freedom Fighters, weighing in terms of practical things that you can do. Nobantu, what Ringo is saying in terms of practicality for people who don't have money, does it make sense to you?
Absolutely. So that falls within, it was done many years ago. It's termed poor man's copyright, which basically allows you to mail it yourself, either through the mail or via email. So he's 100% correct that in order for you to prove that it was reduced and the date of when it was written, you absolutely can do that. You can email it yourself, a friend, etc. However, I do want to reiterate, he highlighted the issue of the copyright amendment bill. As the term says, it's a copyright amendment bill. So the idea behind it is that it needs to protect copyright. And there's been a lot of issues around this bill because it is assumed that it also protects those who are exploiting and the performance of that copyright. So the fundamental issue that we have to first make sure that the principle of copyright is there, that copyright is protected. And then from that point, it moves on to allowing others to then be able to use it. And so unfortunately, with this bill, it's taken long. It's still as far as we are concerned as lawyers, in a very in a bit of a mess of a situation. Mm. And we are hoping that our legislatures will fix it so that the law can be clear and allow for continuing of copyright protection, especially in this digital era.
Yeah, technology has really compromised us. We are left with only 2 minutes, but before that, the advent of social media have changed so many landscapes. So in this particular context, Nobantu, with people flooding their content onto social media and so on, are there any pitfalls that artists should consider when they put their information on social media platforms?
Absolutely. I think, social media is moving, well, digital growth is moving at a very rapid pace. And I think artists should, before putting songs up, definitely, consider what we've been discussing. If the song is played, have you assumed initial ownership of that song before you put it up? The excitement to put music up and then it's taken and placed on various platforms, it doesn't help the situation. So in my view, I would say before we go into social media, first and foremost, you need to make sure that you have applied the basic rules of protection. But once it's up there, the platforms do have, rules that you can follow to make sure that your work remains yours. For example, YouTube will ensure that your work is removed if it has been well registered and protected. So I think the issue is before you apply the work on social media, make sure that you've applied the basic rules of protecting your work, either via trademark protection or reduction of copyright, as we've explained earlier on, or any other forms that may be necessary for you. Other than that, then you're falling into having to defend yourself with work that has already been infringed.
Nobantu Phumla Mfeka, we thank you very much for joining us this morning, Managing Director at Global Entertainment Law.
You've been listening to a Power 98.7 podcast. For more podcasts, visit power987.co.za or subscribe wherever you get your podcasts.